Last week, my husband started a series entitled Wholeness. Wholeness. And this week, I'm endeavoring to build on that foundation. I won't go into all he went over last. It was just too much and too good. So if you didn't get it, I encourage you to go ahead and look at the YouTube or our Spotify, our playlist. Amen. It's on there. But I'm going to kind of build off what he said this morning. But before I get into it, I want you to kind of guess. You know, I love having fun in church. I feel like we don't do that too often. So now, Sly, tell me if I'm ready. Am I queued up? It's a go. Okay, so he's going to play a song. Now, I'm going to tell you, holy sanctified, you know, people, it ain't Christian. Okay, so can I put a disclaimer? I got to put a disclaimer out there. So it's not Christian, but I'm going to have him play a song. And from the song, I'm going to see if you can guess what the topic of today's sermon is going to be. We all ready? We Sly, we ready? Okay, let's go ahead. Now, the new school kids, we may not know this one, but it was back in the day. Okay, so hands raised. Who knows it? Who knows it? If you know it in the chat, put it in the deck. Okay, I'm going to see. Show of hands. Justina, who sings this song? Or what's this song called? Soul Man. Soul Man. So one mama said, I'm not going to date myself. Y'all not going to get me up here and tell my... See, y'all not going to have me tell my age. Amen. It is Soul Man. And I wanted to play that song first to kind of break the ice. But secondly, I don't know about you all, but I realized living this life that the soul is an aspect of man that's not talked about too often. And if it's talked about, it's necessary. It's always in the mind, but that's where it stops. So today, I'm endeavoring to share with you what is the soul, the importance of the soul, and how to anchor your soul. Is that all right with y'all this morning? I'm excited. Okay, so for our first note, you can write this down, or you can follow along in the YouVersion Bible app I have here. An earmark trait of a whole person, spirit, soul, and body, is that they are able to reflect before reacting. They're able to reflect before reacting. What I found is, y'all, that a reaction is just the fruit of something. But in order to figure out the root of something, you need to go to where it's centered at to understand it. And a lot of times, we always look at the fruit and go, oh, we need to fix that. No, we need to fix that. We need to go to the root and fix where the root problem is. And a lot of our root issues, you all, they stem from our soul. They stem from our soul. So if you would go with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:23. We started off here on last week. I'm going to just pick up right where we left off. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. It says, now may the God of peace make you holy. We learned last week, holy really means whole in every way. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless until the Lord Christ Jesus comes again. If you would go to me to Matthew 16, and we're going to launch off right here. Matthew 16, verse 25 and 26. I'm going to read it up here. It should be on the screen. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. Verse 26, and what do you benefit? This is a question he's posing. If you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul, is anything worth more than your soul? This is a question he's asking us. And I want to say our world is kind of built on materialism, how much we can get. We get all we can get. We sit on our can. We can all we get, right? Like everything's get. And this scripture is saying, what is it to get all of this stuff, all of these things, have all these friends, but we lose our own soul? He knew something about the soul that we've got to understand in order to walk this Christian life out. And I will say, even with money, y'all, you know, money can buy you a lot of things. We can buy you cars, houses, clothes. It could buy you friends. It could buy you body parts. We live in Atlanta. If you know, you know. Amen. And I'm not mad at it, but what I'm saying is money can buy you a lot. But there is one thing money cannot buy you, y'all, and that's your peace. I don't care how much money you got. Actually, you know, interestingly, some of the wealthiest people are some of the most stressed out people you ever seen. They have a lot. They got everything, but no peace. So I'm not knocking money. If you have money, praise you to the Lord. I want you to have money. I want you to prosper in everything. But I also want you to have one thing that's foundational, and that is your peace. Amen. So let's talk about the soul. I want to give us a working definition, because I feel like we was like, what is it? Is it our spirit? Is it our soul? What is it? All right, so the soul in the Greek, the word is psuche. That's the Greek word for it. And it's the vital breath of life. It's the seat of your mind, your affections, your desires, and your will. It's your individuality. It's your personality. It's who you are in this life. Amen. You say, well, that makes sense, but I don't know. So I even got a chart for y'all. I came ready. So if you could throw up this chart for me in the back. Man has three components. Now, by show of hands, who's heard this before? Man has three components. We know that man is a three-part being. Amen. Okay. So for those who don't, I'm just going to kind of recap. For those who do, y'all hang tight. So man is a three-part component. There is the spiritual part of us. That is who we are. We are a spirit. We have a soul. We live in a body. Okay? So that's kind of the basic breakdown. But the spirit is the inner part of you. It is your core. When you become born again, this is the part of you that Christ comes to dwell in. That's your spirit. Okay? Now, your soul, you say, well, what's the difference? Here we go. Your soul is your personality. It's what makes you, you. It's how you think. It's how you process. It's how you love. It comes from your soul. Now, a lot of the times, your soul and your spirit can overlap, but they are two distinct things. And I'm going to show you how in this sermon. Lastly, there's your body. That's the part of you that's alive to just the physical realm. It can see, taste, what's the five senses? See, taste, smell, touch, hear. It can do all that. Your body can do all of that. And that goes from your physiological world. That's your worldly conscience part. Now, from this graph, I would say that by far your spirit is the most important part of you, right? But if you look at the arrows on this graph, y'all, what is both connected to the spirit and the body? So you're telling me that my spirit can't get to my body without my soul? True. It goes spirit, then soul, then body. You will only see what's in your spirit through your body when it's processed in your soul. You will only see what's in your spirit, y'all. Everything's in your spirit. Christ is in your spirit. Peace is in your spirit. Joy is in. You only see that through, if you process it through your soul. That's the only way you'll see it. So this is why this is so, do y'all understand the importance of the soul? We need our soul to process everything we see. Hebrews 4:12, I'm not going to have you turn there. I'm just going to read it. It says, for the word of the Lord It's alive and it's powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between. And it gives you clear, definitions here. Cutting between the soul and the spirit and between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. It's our soul. So this morning, I'm going to endeavor to take a deep dive into our soul. I'm excited about it. I'm nervous too, but I'm excited. You know, when you do deep dives, you never know what you're going to get. Amen. That's how the Lord works. I was, there was one time I was just hanging out with the Lord, and I feel like the soul is a part of me that I pack boxes up, you know, and I go, I'm going to get to that later. I'm going to forget that person later. I'm going to work through that trauma later. You know what I'm saying? Because life happens. Amen. But the more I walk with the Lord, the more he has me go back and get them boxes and I start unpacking them. And the more uncomfortable it becomes for me to deal with some of the stuff that I have lived through. The Lord told me one time, he says, Ashley, you can really see what's in your soul from what comes out of your mouth. You know, even the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth will start to speak. Sometimes we don't even know what's in our mouth or in our heart or what we're dealing with until we start speaking. And we go, where did that come from? I went to brunch one time, y'all. I was brunching. I don't brunch often, but I love brunching. So I was trying to have me a good time. I was like, you know, I'm going out with my friends. I'm brunching. We get to the brunch. I'm happy. I'm eating. It's my happy place. And a conversation starts to come up about this person that I thought I forgave. Maybe 5 years ago? Happened 5 years ago. I said, oh, yeah, I'm through with that. We got to talk about this individual. Well, y'all, I'm talking about the springs of life just started coming. And I was like, yeah, and they did. It was like it took me right back to that space. And I said, Ashley. Now, I didn't process it in the moment because I was just venting. I didn't process it. But when I got home, I said, girl, what did that come from? Came from my soul. There were a couple things that I had not forgiven. It was deep embedded in my soul. And it wasn't until it got triggered that all this stuff started coming up out of me. And I will say, any leaders, as you get higher in leadership, here's what can happen. And it so easily can happen. If you don't process what's in your soul, you're going to start bleeding and not leading. So we have to be careful to process what we go through, the traumas we face, the triggers we have. And everybody has them. And it's okay. I'm not condemning anybody. I got them myself. Everybody got them, right? But if we don't process and sit in that thing, we can actually end up putting onto others that very thing that we should have healed from. And so we give our hurt and not our healing. People need our healing. Our healing is just not for us. It's for other people, amen? One aspect of the soul is it's defined as life. Your soul is your life. Basically, a life body, a life-giving body is a soul. When we talk about saving people, we go, oh, we're going to save the souls. Isn't that what we say? We're going to save their souls. Because their souls is what's living. I would say your life work is your soul work. That's your life work. It's going to be the soul work, because here is what happens, and even going back to the spirit, soul, body. In your spirit, y'all, you are perfect. You are perfect. Christ dwells in your spirit. And I think I'm getting ahead of myself here. But if we have a slide on the importance of the soul, if you can put that up. Your soul, like I said, it's the mediator. But it's the part of you that will process everything you go through. Now, your spirit is perfect. That's where I was. Your spirit is perfect, y'all. Christ lives in there. There is nothing about your spirit that is incomplete, imperfect, nasty, dirty. No, your spirit is good. Your spirit is sealed. From the time you confess Christ, your spirit is good. Now, what's not good? Honey, that flesh. Can I submit to you, your flesh is not your body. Your flesh is not your body. Your flesh is your soul. Your body's a neutral party. It's a neutral party to the game. Because when this life comes out of us, when breath comes out of us, this body will lay down. It can do nothing without your spirit and your soul attached to it. So your body's it's going to do whatever you tell it to do. We're going to go over here. Okay, we're going to go over here. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to praise the Lord. We're going to smoke weed. We're going to smoke weed. You know, I'm just being honest. Your body will do whatever you tell it to do. But it's your soul. It's your will. It's your will that gives expression to your body to do whatever you say do. Does that make sense? Amen. I feel like I'm kind of like teacher here. Oh, man. So what I want to submit to you is that Satan, he's our adversary. We all know that we have an adversary. He's never after your spirit. He's not even after your body. He's after your soul. Because if he can start to suggest things to your mind to tell you you're not good enough, you don't have enough, you're not who God says you are, that happens in your mind. Like I said, your spirit is sealed. That's good with Christ. You and Christ, y'all here. Y'all thick as thieves. Y'all good. But it's that soul. And Satan is going to come after your soul. He's going to come after your soul. Amen. And so you can write this down, that the soul is the component of man that can side with each part, either your body or your spirit. Like I said, whatever your body do, your soul tell it to do, right? So your soul is going to be important when you have your devotional time. This is why I have my devotional time. I don't have my devotional time to be saved, y'all. I have my devotional time so that I can act saved because my soul might come out of myself, amen? Might come out of what I know the Lord has shown me to be. And if you take me there, we can get with it with the best of them, can't we? We can get with it. You don't want to see old Ashley. And some of y'all, Vince called me, she from St. Louis. She hide it well. But you know, but we all have that thug part of us. Let's just be real, okay? That if it was not for the Lord on my side, not where would I be, where would you be? Okay? We got to be real with it. I love y'all. I love y'all, but if it was not, seriously. And so what happens is we have to align our soul to what our spirit already knows. So that's what that devotional time is for. That's what prayer is for. That's what reading your Bible is for. It's not to make you saved. You're already saved. Praise you, the Lord. You are perfectly cleansed in Christ. You are a new creation in Christ. But that's in Christ. We walk out here. So we got to get everything else in line in Christ. So that we can start to see and act like and be who God created us to be in our spirit. Is this making sense to us this morning? Amen. I'm in teacher mode. I ain't even go here. But amen, I feel like I need it. So in this next phase, I'm gonna kind of go over some hurdles to having a whole soul. And I didn't even think I told you my title, but my title is Soul Full. Soul Full, F-U-L-L. We say, oh, you're so soulful. We say, thank you. Thank you, I'm soulful. But honestly, what is your soul full of? Because whatever it's full of, that's what's going to come out of you. That's what folks are going to see. And so the Lord gave me a illustration here. David, can you come up here for a second? Can you hold this side to the audience, that side? Now, the Lord told me that, Ashley, your soul is a filter. And when you go through life, You go through things, you go through hard things, you go through betrayals, you go through ups and downs, you go through just, I don't know, just the tragedies of life that just hit us out of nowhere. Amen. What your soul does is it encounters what's on the physical realm, it takes it in and it processes it. Here's the deal. This is a dirty filter, by the way. Don't breathe too hard in it, okay? Breathing fumes, he passed out up here. So your soul's gonna take in all of that stuff, right? Here's our job. Our job is to process through it. Because if not, our soul's gonna trap in every gross, nasty trauma trigger we've ever been through. And I don't know if you know about an air filter, but when you put an air filter in, the reason you put a clean one in there is so that it could purify the things that are coming at it, the contaminants coming at it, right? If you leave a dirty one in there, what ends up happening? That contaminants will not only not trap nothing, it will start to spread what it's got. So your soul, it acts in the same manner. If you don't begin to process what's going on inside of me, what's going to happen is whatever I have, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, right? Whatever I'm bringing, whatever I done been through, that's what I'm going to give you back. And all the contaminants of life is what I'm going to spread on you. However, you can lay that one down. A clean soul. You say, well, Ashley, how do we get clean? Don't we all have triggers and traumas? Absolutely. Can I share with you something? A clean soul is not anything that you can do for yourself. A clean soul only happens in Christ. When I begin to align or give my trauma, give my trigger to the Lord, what does the word say? Cast your cares. Isn't that what it says? For he cares for you. What are you doing? You're laying your soul down. This is hard, Lord. I can't do this, Lord. I'm not enough, Lord. All that talk, all that stuff that comes at you in your mind, in your emotions, how you feel, you lay that at the altar. And God says, you give me that, I'll clean it. I'll clean it. Amen. Thank you. So your soul is your filter. I'm going to see if I skipped over some things because I was just going, y'all. All right, so amen. Here we go. My next point or my next kind of section to this message is hurdles to having a whole soul. So you say, okay, Ashley, I'd have been through the trauma, I'd have been through the trigger, I got that, what do I do now? So here's some things. Here's some hurdles we can find ourselves dealing with in life. The number one is shame. Number one thing is shame. Shame of the devil. Let me just tell you, there is nothing about shame that is godly, nothing about shame that is good. I didn't understand the difference between shame and guilt, but here it is. Guilt says, I did something bad. Shame says, I am bad. And so when you are in that feeling of, I am bad, nobody loves me, I can't be loved, do you see how you kind of get yourself in a hole? And it's hard to come out of that if that's what you believe about yourself. I love Brené Brown. She works a lot on shame. If you don't know that, she's an author. And I'm gonna read a definition about shame. She said, it is the intensely painful feeling or experience of believing that we are flawed and therefore unworthy of love, or unworthy of belonging, or unworthy of connection. How does this look spiritually? In the spiritual sense, when we look at God and we have shame, you go, there's a disconnection. God doesn't want me. He doesn't want me. I'm too bad off. I've done too many things. He doesn't want this. That's a sense of shame. And what I will say about this, now I don't know about you. I have a mental health therapist on speed dial. Hallelujah. And I encourage mental health therapy. If that's you and you find yourself stuck and you just can't get out of that, stuck like you're in your mind, you can't get out of it, I encourage you to find somebody that can help you out of that, walk you through practical things to help you out of that place. Sometimes we just need a little bit more, amen? Just need a little bit more. I'm going to tell you this, and I might get bashed. Don't cancel culture me, but I'm going to just say it. I hear a lot about our generation, you know, the millennials and even under. We talk about mental health therapy as if that's the answer. And there's a thing going around, oh, mental health. And y'all, well, I'm happy about mental health. I'm happy that it's being more aware, because it wasn't with our grandparents. My grandma, what is that? You just need Jesus. You know, you can't even. So we kind of went on one ditch on one side where it was all Jesus, right? And then nowadays, I feel like we're going all on this side where it's all mental health. It's all practical. It's all natural. Well, this is what you can do naturally. Let me tell you, you only get so far doing that. Add to your therapy some theology. What I mean by that is, if you don't know who God's called you to be, you can get all the practical stuff you want to, all the mental stuff you want to, your soul's not going to be grounded in anything. You understand what I'm saying? So it is therapy. I love therapy. I approve therapy. Yes, get therapy. But first, it works from the inside out. Your spirit, then your soul. Then it will flow through your body. Make sure your spirit is secure. And I'm going to say something. You can be spiritually secure, but still struggle in your soul. You can be spiritually secure, good with Christ, good with God, but struggle in how you process things, how you walk things out. The Word of God calls this walking out our salvation. I don't know if you ever heard that scripture before, walking out our salvation. And when you became born again, you became justified. Amen. Your soul or working out your salvation is how you become sanctified, okay? And when we come and when Jesus returns, we'll be glorified. We'll have our glorified bodies. So it's a process. But in this life, your life work is what? Your soul work. So working out your salvation, what does that look like? Our work, y'all, is rested in his work. That's your work. Rest in his work. What's his work? He's put his Holy Spirit in you. Anytime you get a trauma trigger come up, oh, but I got the Holy Spirit, Lord. Like, so what is this? My mind's telling me this, but your word says this. What is that doing? Aligning your soul with your spirit. Amen? All right, so the first thing, shame, eliminating shame. That's going to be a hurdle to having a whole soul. The second thing, a lack of rest. Oh, we don't want to talk about it. Let me talk about it. A lack of rest. I love this. John Ortberg, I hope I said his name right, but he says, hurry destroys our souls and is therefore the great enemy of spiritual life in our day. It's not you doing crazy. It's not you out here in the streets. It's hurry. Hurry is what's destroying your soul. Matthew 11, 28 and 29, you can turn there if you want. But it says, then Jesus says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. And he says, and I will give you rest. You know, a byproduct of coming to God is rest, automatically. You come to God, you receive rest. It's not a, oh, if I come to God, he might. No, you come to God, you receive. So that's why he tells you, come to me. I got what you need. I got rest for your souls. In 29, he says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find what? Rest for your soul. So what is rest? Rest is us setting aside time to slow down so that we can catch up with God. Rest is us setting aside time to slow down so that we can catch up with God. God is already ahead of us. He already understands what we're going to go through in this lifetime. He's got the provision for you. But if we're so busy doing, going, getting, Amen. Rest is a setting aside time to slow down so that we can catch up with God. And if we're honest, you know what a lack of rest is? A lack of rest or a hurried life stems from us being in pride or us being in fear. And if you think about it, when we going, well, I need to do this. I got to do this. I got to. What are we saying? Lord, I don't trust you to do this. I need to do this on my own. I don't see how you're going to do this. So you know what? I'm going to help you out. Pride says, I got it. Thank you, Lord, but I got it. You good, but I got it. That's pride. It's coming before the Lord. Fear says, my needs won't get met. So I need to get in and get it. I need to get it. So I will submit to you, and you can write this down in your notes. A lack of rest often distinguishes what's really going on, which is a lack of trust. If I don't have rest in my life, where am I not trusting God? That's what you can ask yourself. Where am I not trusting God? Where am I not trusting God? I love what Carl Jung says. Carl Jung. He says, hurry is not of the devil. Hurry is the devil. It's not of the devil. It is the devil. These are hurdles to a whole soul. Thirdly, the third hurdle is hopelessness. Hopelessness. Y'all, this was so good. I want you to actually turn here. Turn to Proverbs 13 and 12. I looked this up. I almost fell out because it was really good to me. And this is a scripture I've read like 1,000 times. But you know, that's how it is. Like, you read a scripture, you think you know it inside and out, then the Holy Spirit just say, bam, here's something else you know. You're like, whoa. It felt like you read it for the first time. So here we go. Proverbs 13 and 12, it says, hope deferred. It makes the heart sick. We can call it soul sick. But a dream fulfilled is a tree of life. I asked the Lord, what is hope deferred? What does that mean that makes our soul so sick? He says, hope is expectation in something. That's hope. If I'm hopeful, I have an expectation, right? Here's the key, deferred. This is big, y'all. Deferred means hesitation. If I have a hesitant expectation that God's gonna come through, my soul will be sick. I'm hesitant to even expect. I can't put myself in faith because what if I don't get it? I love what Lisa Tyker says. She says, you know, many people live in disappointment so they will never have to feel it. So they live in that state of, I don't even want to put myself in an expectation because I don't know. Hesitant expectation. Are you hesitating to see God move in your life? Are you hesitating to see his hand? Are you hesitating to see how he comes through in your life? Indicator of a soul sickness. Hope deferred, hesitation of expectation is what makes my heart sick. Hey, man. Are y'all getting something from this morning? Hey, man. I feel like this is real teachy. I didn't mean to be this teachy. But you know, some messages, I always wish I could come up here and just shout with the best of them and then, you know, break out in a run or something. But the Lord, sometimes he just has you sit right here and he has you go through this word because he's trying to get something to us, you know? And I'm really tired and I'm really just exhausted and frustrated of Christians walking around not seeing the very things God put in their spirit. Y'all, it's time for us to come out. It's time for us to be the salt and the light of the earth. It's time. This world needs us. I was out somewhere. I don't even know where I was. I don't know if me and Vince, you know, we in Atlanta, we be out in these streets now. My mama got the baby, so I'm gone. So we be out in these streets. And I'm just walking, you know, we were walking somewhere, and I remember seeing like a group of young people. I say young, like as if I'm old, but you know, about my age, amen, like their 30s. Amen. I say young like I'm old.
So see a group of young people.
I'm still young. I'm going to claim it. Amen. And as I'm passing by them, I don't know if you all have ever felt anxiety come off. We call it now vibes. Like, ooh, their vibe is off. Ooh, the vibe. Like, that's what our young people call it today. But I call it something ain't right. They're vexed. You feel anxiety coming from them. You feel their stress. You don't even know what they stressed about, but you feel it. You're like, ooh. Have you ever felt that before? You walk past, you're like, ooh, that person is going through. It is heavy. And I'm realizing that there are so many more of that than there are when I walk by somebody and say, ooh, they got a peaceful spirit. Because just as loud as that spirit is speaking is as loud as ours can speak. Amen. And when somebody passes you, they ought to say, ooh, I need to be by her or be by him. Let me come over here. What you got? Let me just talk to you. For no reason. Let me just talk to you for a second. Because they're sensing something that you have. What is that? It's the peace of God, y'all. It's the peace of God. Money can't buy it. You can't go out and earn it. But he says, come to me. Let me give you rest, peace for your souls. And other people will be able to glean from the peace that you have in your body, that you're experiencing. Amen? Amen. As I close, I'm going to close with this. How to anchor your soul. And I'm done. I'm wrapping up. I want us to go to Hebrews 6. This is my last scripture. Hebrews 6. How to anchor your soul. I'm starting in verse 18. This whole chapter was really good. So if you don't know, just go read it. This is really good. But I ain't got time. So I'm going to just go to verse 18. It says, so God has given both his promise and his oath. Ooh, well, what's the difference? We're going to find out. Hold on. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the what? Hope. Hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. So I had to slow down. I said, Lord, well, what's the difference between your promise and your oath? Can you tell me? And he showed me his promise. When he ascended on high, he said, listen, I'm giving you an advocate. I'm promising you somebody that's going to come. He's going to live with you. He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. He's going to empower you to be who I've called you to be. Well, they say, well, who was that, Lord? The promise of the Holy Spirit. That's what he says. So he says he's given us both his promise, which is his Holy Spirit. Well, then what's his oath? What's his oath? Under the new covenant, you know, we always talk. I don't know if you ever have some preachers that talk to you about what you got to do, you got to do, you got to be. To get to heaven, you got to be. I'm saying to y'all, the Lord says, I'm giving you my oath under this new covenant. He says, I will be your God and you'll be my people. That's his oath to us. We don't work in a land of kingdoms, but in a land of a kingdom, when a king says something, decrees something, he cannot take it back. And so this is why if you go over to, I'm going to jump stories here, but if you go over to Daniel, in the lion's den, the king had said a decree. He said, oh, I don't want him to go in the lion's den. Wait a minute. The decree was that he wouldn't pray to anybody else but him. That was the decree. He loved Daniel. So when they caught Daniel praying to God, they said, uh-oh, he messed up your decree. He got to go. And the king was like, don't take him. No, no, no. Because a king, once they say something, it cannot be undone. He says, I'm giving you my promise and I'm giving you my oath. I will be your God. You are my people. No longer is it you got to get from me. No. He's just going to give because he loves you. He can't help himself over you. I have that now. I understand that as a parent. Asher's little eyes look at me. I'm like, I can't help myself. Okay. Whatever you want, baby. But that's how God is with us. He gives us things because he loves, not because we're good, but because he loves us. He gives us things because he loves us. So I'm going to end with this. And if you all can stand up on your feet, we're going to end with this. We talked about the soul, hurdles to the soul, the importance of a soul. And as I was talking, you go, well, Ashley, you know, I never realized how important my soul was. And I never realized that what was in my soul comes out of what I say. So right now, like I said, a trait of a whole person is to what? Reflect before reacting. In this moment, I want us to reflect. So let's close our eyes. Let's bow our heads. I want us to reflect. I love what David says in Psalms 42. It says, why, my soul, are you down?